The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Event Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat, it's where it's at.
October 31st, November gets here tomorrow. That Bob Seger song, Main Street, was written about a night. He was just walking around his hometown, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Saw a pretty girl dancing in the window. Years later, said, hey, that'd be a good song. He has another hit. That simple. Paul had mentioned yesterday how they flattened the old Conoco station in the Heights, and I looked at that going by this morning, and got one of the big diggers there, and I don't know if they're still just digging stuff up, because those tanks had to have been in the ground for decades, and usually they don't start knocking stuff down until they got something new to put up, so we'll see what's going to go there. I never did hear what, if anything, is going to go up downtown where the old Burger King and the bank drive-thru was, but that's been flattened for a couple months now. A little traffic note, if Main Street is your way in the morning, they've got it down to one lane by Starbucks, southbound. So keep that in mind if that will affect your commute about 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Where's that?
Right by Starbucks on Main and the Heights. Right on the corner by Taco John's.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a Starbucks now, isn't it?
That's why it takes two of us to work here. Because one guy can't remember some stuff and the other guy can't remember the other stuff. Do I drive by that? Huh, interesting. We joined the Taylor Swift party a little late, but I have another code for you at 8:20 this morning. You can enter that code on the app if you want to play along. I see Miss Swift is doing a free concert for all Kansas City Chiefs season ticket holders, thanking them for accepting her. And Farmer, we might see Dan Miller today. The Montana Millionaire tickets go on sale tomorrow. You can start buying tickets tomorrow morning at 5:30 if you can find somebody that's open. They are going to sell 380,000 tickets at $20 each. Last year, the thing sold out in 29 hours. Added another $1 million grand prize. Two early bird drawings this year for $25,000 will be drawn November 24th and $100,000 on December 15th. And there will be a total of 4,100 instant win tickets worth $100 or $500 each. I know good church-going folks who won't put money in a poker machine, but got to have some of those Montana Millionaire tickets because what the heck? Oh, one of those things on the website they want you to click on. Paul, what a walk-in tub should cost you if you have Medicare. that's getting to be a thing for us.
Yeah.
And decent weather for trick-or-treaters tonight. I can think of years growing up in Great Falls. You got your costume on over seven layers of long johns and galoshes and your coat. So it's always better when it's a little nicer.
I remember when I was a kid, and I can't remember what year it was, but in Ohio, they moved trick-or-treating to the Sunday afternoon instead of Halloween night because of there was some mass killer that had killed somebody at one point, and so they moved it to afternoon on a Sunday.
Probably a good call.
And it stayed that way for years. I don't know if they ever... Well, I'm sure they've changed it back, but... but they moved Halloween to a Sunday afternoon. No matter when Halloween fell, it was always the Sunday before or closest to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it then. Of course, nowadays you can probably just download the Halloween app and Uber will bring your treats.
You're right.
To your house.
I'm not going out on a night like this.
Yeah. I'm not going to go out and actually work for it.
Yeah. Uber me a bag of caramels, some Hershey's Kisses, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Show up with a pumpkin and here you go.
Mm-hmm.
What a great Halloween. God. You know what I noticed on the way in today, too, is diesel fuel has taken a dive. I don't know what happened, but diesel fuel went from 489 to 431.
Wow, it never does that.
In like a few days.
Huh.
And I looked this morning and I thought, God, Paul, are you awake? So I went down the road further, got to the next one. Yeah, it dropped a lot. I mean, that's almost 60 cents a gallon. It dropped in, you know, just a few quick days here. Gas hasn't. Gas is $3.69. It's been dropping a nickel at a time, and they make it out of the same scum that comes out of the bottom of the tank, and then we use it all up as diesel fuel, and And it dropped. Dropped a lot. Which is a big difference, 60 cents. That's a big difference. You know, when you're putting 400 gallons at a time in your semi or something, like, that's $240 difference.
Or your big diesel RV.
Or your big diesel pusher, Mark, that you'll have.
Guy in Mexico told me to get the diesel pusher.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep. Well, get one that burns cooking oil, too, because then after you do your Diablo shrimp and all your other stuff, you can just dump it right in the tank.
That'd be handy.
But that's a big drop. I got to get some blended, anyway, some blended red for the farm stuff for the winter, so I'm glad to see it drop. That's good.
Yeah, folks, look at your monthly bills. Go find yourself a farmer. Compare notes. You'll never complain about anything you're paying on again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ran into a lady yesterday at Walmart. I was getting some furnace filters. And a lady comes up to me in a cart. This is thanks to Mark now.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Said, hi, are you Paul? I said, yeah. And she goes, I want to let you know I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to make it out to bingo on Friday night. She goes, I know it was probably a bad turnout, but the roads were kind of bad. We didn't want to have to navigate the roads, but she says, I felt bad because I wanted to help you out. And so she gave me $20 for Flakesgiving.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah. So I started an envelope here so we can start collecting that already, and it's coming up in a couple weeks.
Got some requests for meals already. This falls on deaf ears for the people that don't listen. Everything is that 1 week.
Yeah.
Now, we take money all year because that's just what it's evolved into.
Right.
But all the Flakesgiving stuff is all that 1 week.
Mm-hmm. Keeps it in order. Doesn't spread stuff out. Nothing gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
As far as addresses, people that need their deliveries and stuff like that. And there's always plenty, so you don't have to worry. It's all that week. Not next week. It's the week after.
Mm-hmm.
This week, we have to worry about the time change. That's what we worry about this week. And the week after then. Meals are up this year, though. Meals are going to be $40.
Mm-hmm.
So cost of turkeys went up, what Chris say, 60 cents a pound?
Mm-hmm. And our turkeys are averaging 15 pounds.
Yeah. So, you know, there you go right there. That's a $9 increase right there.
Mm-hmm.
I can do the math, folks. When we graduated high school, we had to know how to do math.
But that was another great board meeting yesterday for Flakesgiving, because got to have Chris from Albertsons, because they gave us money. They ran us a big check, in fact. And then they've been gathering all the banana boxes. We about got as many as we need already.
Oh, yeah, and we added green beans this year.
Mm-hmm.
We added a can of green beans. Because people make that gross...
Everybody makes that.
That gross green bean casserole.
Why is this at every holiday meal I go to?
Cream of mushroom soup and the crusted onions on top.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody makes that. Oh, God. You could eat it in Bangladesh, and it would taste exactly the same as it would in Belgrade.
I know nobody that says, special treat for you this year at Christmas, my mom's green bean casserole.
Exactly.
You never hear that.
That's exactly right. Now, there's different corn casseroles,
yeah,
but that green bean crap.
Well, and I get it, because it's easy. It's easy and it's fast, and it's one more menu item, but...
Well, in somebody... Somebody made it and thought everybody liked it. They were just being nice. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's plain, it's blah, and all right.
Gee. That's funny, though. Every morning, whenever I wake up, if I go to bed so early, I woke up at 2 this morning. So I'm scrolling through stuff on the internet, and Paul, your routine is about to change next year. No more Swan Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
They are, they're going to consolidate, and they're in 48 states now. December 8th, that will drop to 18. And
wow.
I didn't know they had changed the name to Yellow, Y-E-L-L-O-H.
Yeah, I don't buy much anymore. I haven't bought stuff for, gosh, 8 months probably. It's just, you know, it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It works well in the summertime in case you want to buy ice cream or something because, you know, you can't get it home from town in the summer. But getting back to that green bean casserole, nobody even saves the leftover green bean casserole.
No.
Nobody says, God, I can't wait to warm this up tomorrow and have it again, like you do the stuffing and the gravy and the turkey. Nobody says, hey, I got dibs tomorrow on the green bean casserole.
Who ate all the green bean casserole?
Nobody says that. But everybody has it, so we're throwing in a can of green beans this year.
Well, here's one. Use fresh green beans, onions, and bacon. No soup.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom used to do that. Fresh green beans, slice them up, put some bacon and onions in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad loved green beans. Well, my dad loved anything. Yeah, I just... green beans are good for dogs. Very good for dogs.
Ding!
Yep. I remember when Ruger, my golden lab, was on his last year, and the vet said, you know, if you just whip up some rice and some boil some chicken and make green beans, and it's great for the dog, and it turned him around. I mean, like the last year, it just made a huge difference.
Huh.
Yeah, it was amazing. But so I was getting Purina dog chow, and the dog was getting chicken, rice, and green beans.
Mm-hmm.
Green beans are good for dogs. Folks, that I don't know how many times in the last 36 years we have talked about this. I know I wrote an article 5 years ago on this. I know I talked about it 20 years ago on this. And these people still, all these people that go to college, all of them, they're all educated and indoctrinated the same way. And they can never get it right, and that is the bison in Yellowstone Park.
Mm-hmm.
It is the most simple solution of anything, any government problem there is to fix, and that is the overpopulation of bison in Yellowstone Park. It amazes me how these people go to college and they can't figure this out. Scientists, biologists, They can't figure it out. Any rancher in Montana, Wyoming, anywhere in the country can tell you what the problem is. Too many animals and not enough grazing.
Mm-hmm.
So what do ranchers and farmers all around the country do when they have too many animals and not enough grazing? There's only two solutions. Only two. Only two. You either have to cut the herd or you have to supplement the feed.
Right.
One or the other. That's it. End of system. The only but that's not the solution if you go to college and you take biology.
It's true.
It's genetic egg development and all kinds of horse crap. Folks, it's overgrazed. There are too many animals. That's just it. They and why? Because people who are in college have allowed that to happen. Ranchers don't allow that to happen, or you would destroy your own land, your own property, if you overgraze it. We've all seen people who have done that. You ruin it. A healthy calf crop helped Yellowstone Park bison rebound. Rebound? What do you mean rebound? There's too many.
Mm-hmm.
They think now there's about 4,800 of them, and as a result, the Park Service is recommending 1,100 be removed from the population this season. They want to ensure the herd size remains above 3,500, a target meant to maintain the animal's genetic diversity. Genetic diversity has nothing to do with how much the land can sustain.
No.
They went to college. See? We're more interested in the genetic diversity of the animal than we are not abusing God's land that he gave us. They're wrong. And they do, folks, they go through this every single year. They try to come up with something. Oh, well, now we've got to cull the herd. Now we have to round them up. Now we're going to allow people to shoot some of them They have to be guided, blah, blah, blah. We have to give the Native Americans 1,400 of them.
Get ready for the holidays and have great times at the Roadside Event Center in Huntley. On Friday, November 10th, it's Can't Miss Music from the duo El Wencho. There are many fun classes in November, including painting, a cookie class with sweet sundries, and a giddy-up hat-burning class. There's even a Christmas candle-making party on Thursday, November 16th at 6. Our 2024 calendar is filling up fast. Find all our special events on Facebook, the Roadside Event Center, where memories are made.
We got to do this. We got to do that. Every year, they have to come up with this every year. Why? Because they're not managing the bison numbers the way they should be managed. There's way too many. They overgraze the park. They overgraze it. Overgraze it. So they got a big meeting. Greg Gianforte, FWP. Someday, if you folks ever run into me, I'll tell you what that stands for.
Feel free to stop him in the aisles at the store.
That's right. Hug me first. Kiss me. All getting involved, want Montana to participate in it. They want the Park Service to reconsider their management proposals. They've needed to reconsider their proposal. But see, folks, look who's in park management. Look who they put in charge at park management. They don't have any good conservative rancher types that are in there making the decisions. No. And they all know you're overgrazed. There's too many animals. They're overgrazed. The park's 2.2 million acres. Every year, a new bison management plan or something to deal with the bison, blah, blah, blah. Too many. There's too many. We need more critical winter habitat for bison. No, you got too many bison.
Yeah.
That the habitat will run, period. We commend Yellowstone Park for recognizing the need to update their approach in bison management. What? Yeah, Mark, we've been talking about this for 36 years that we have been on.
I know. And you're right. And it's the same discussion every time.
Every year, same one. Recommendations. The amount killed or captured should depend on the magnitude of the migration. In culling the herd, no more than 20% should be calves, with more females taken than males. If enough animals migrate out of the park, some could be trapped and tested. For brucellosis. It spread to livestock. It caused pregnant cattle to abort. Democrats like that. They even like cattle aborting all the time. Elk also carry brucellosis. Look how many elk are down in the park. Well, and they thought the wolves, you know, they decimated the elk herd, but they're not eating as many buffalo. This past winter drove bison north in the Gardner Basin, resulting in the largest tribal hunting success on record, with 1,010 of them being shot by tribal members. Another 282 were placed in the Bison Conservation Transfer Program.
What?
This is because of college. Wow. Montana hunters were allowed to kill 75. Another 37 were shot by FWP after they were wounded. 53 were considered an unattributed harvest. 88 bison were captured and shipped to slaughter, and the meat was given to Native Americans. It's a pretty simple solution there. The park will only sustain, just like any rancher's property, the amount of land grazing can only sustain a certain amount of animals, and you can't change that amount every year based on the year. You farmers and ranchers don't do that every year. It started raining in the spring, so ranchers go out, get another 100 head and put it on their land. No, they don't do that. These guys change every year based on the weather. You can't. You have to take an average sustainable rate in the park, and you keep that number. That way it doesn't overgraze. That way they're not forced to migrate. That way there's enough forage there to maintain a healthy herd. That's what ranchers do. We don't change our management policies on our herd size and numbers every single year. Well, we had a tough winter. So this and this and this, or we have more rain this summer, so we're going to do. Farmers and ranchers don't do that. They know how much their land will provide for their animals. And if there's any extra left over going into the end of the year, that's even better yet, because it's better and healthier for the ground and the environment itself.
Right.
To have more carryover grass. A lot of it would go to seed and replenish itself. They know that, but we don't do that with bison for some reason. And every year, we get this article. Mm-hmm. Officials working on a bison management plan every year. Every year.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. Article today talks about the turmoil going on down in Glendive between the mayor and the council, and there's a ruckus among us down there. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful area, in case you've ever want to stop down there, Glendive. It's look for dinosaur bones or whatever.
You can go back and research. Somebody here on staff wrote an article about it.
No, you really don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Watched the game last night. Texas won 3-1. Oh, Frank Howard died.
Who was that?
Oh, he was a home run king in the American League for a long time in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
87. Hmm. Yeah, old Frank. Hmm. Oh, my horoscope today said stay close to home. I think I'll do that.
Run into the radio thing this morning, then stay close to home.
Lay low and avoid travel. I can do that. I can do that.
I haven't looked at my horoscope in years.
Let me look and see what yours is. Get your partner on board with your plan, Mark.
Okay.
Give in to a spontaneous romance. Well, what's that, Mr. Coors Light? You have won over my heart.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Yeah. What else do we have in the news today? Stuff in the news that I told you last week during the shooting, and it's finally starting to make its way out. And I don't know why Color 8 and Q2 don't cover these things when they should, but they don't, because they're all in bed together with the rest of the media in the country. But authorities in Maine are trying to piece together the events behind that mass shooting. Report Monday from the sheriff's office, the family had reached out and expressed concerns about the deteriorating mental health of Robert Card 5 months before the rampage, in which he even made mention to the fact that a mass shooting could be in the future. I told you that last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's out yesterday now. And of course, now the way we put them in programs, we have people in college who know that if we can just get them on certain types of drugs and talk to them, show them that we care, that then they do not, they will not present a threat to society. And so now we have 18 people dead because we took that approach. A bulletin sent to police said Card had been committed to a mental health facility 2 weeks after he was hearing voices and threats to shoot up a military base. And folks, he was on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have these experts that are all psychology experts and people that have been trained in college to deal with people's feelings. And they've all been trained on how now to do this versus the way we used to do it when we protected society. We have to show compassion and grace. And yeah, we do. But if they are a threat, you can't let them out.
Right.
And so 18 people were dead. Dead. They're dead. A few months ago, a sheriff's deputy was sent to visit a home for a wellness check at the request of the reserve unit when a soldier said he was afraid that this guy was going to snap and commit a mass shooting because he was hearing voices again. Once again, folks, all the signs, all the clues, all the evidence are there. But these people that went to college and were trained in dealing with psychosis and other things have determined that this man is probably a victim and we need to embrace him, show him we love him, and let him continue to roam the streets. We will probably we'll have some sessions with him and we will medicate him. And guess what? 18 people are now dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead. Documents released gave the most detailed timeline of the warning signs and failed efforts to stop this gunman before he killed 18. 18. By that time, his reserve unit had grown sufficiently enough concern that it took away all of his military-issued firearms. They were so concerned.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Adding that Card was also declared non-deployable. He was so bad. And yet...
Get ready for the holidays and have great times at the Roadside Event Center in Huntley. On Friday, November 10th, it's Can't Miss Music from the duo El Wencho. There are many fun classes in November, including painting, a cookie class with sweet sundries, and a giddy-up hat-burning class. There's even a Christmas candle-making party on Thursday, November 16th at 6. Our 2024 calendar is filling up fast. Find all our special events on Facebook, the Roadside Event Center, where memories are made.
We didn't put him or house him in a facility to try to get him the care that he needed and kept him away from people. No, we didn't. You don't do that now.
Mm-mm.
You don't do that now. And so people, 18 people are dead. Commander of the Army unit said we were trying to get treatment for him. He reached out. The Army even reached out to his brother to make sure that he wouldn't have access to things on the family farm or guns. He couldn't get them. He was such a threat. Authorities have not said whether they believe Card planned the October 25th rampage in advance. Well, that's because they're authorities. And authorities, folks, are the ones that made all the decisions not to round him up and put him away to keep him out. And so authorities have not said whether they actually believed he planned it or not, because they're covering their ass. He purchased the gun legally, filled out all the forms, and he answered yes to this question. Have you ever been adjudicated as a mental defective, or have you ever been committed to a mental institution? And he said yes on that form. And he wanted a silencer. And that's an automatic disqualification for a silencer. Because silencers are more heavily regulated under federal law than most firearms. So they're going to revisit now the laws. They're going to revisit the gun laws in Maine. We never revisit, though, the psychologists who all go to college and who were all trained in this, and all the people that are dealing with his mental issues and all of the drugs that are issued to these people. We never revisit that. Just like yesterday, folks, I wrote an article about how that gun down in Miami wasn't responsible for that shooting. Here's a 14-year-old boy that was down there at 3 o'clock in the morning in Miami's well-known wild party district that is dangerous. He was in eighth grade last year, folks. He's 14 now. And at 3 a.m. in the morning down there, he was shot. And they're blaming the gun. And I wrote an article. We had a guy even say it is the gun. It's not the gun. Boy should have never been there.
Right.
It's the people who raised the boy. It's not the gun. And I saved it for later this morning. But if you're going to blame the gun, then I guess all these fentanyl deaths, we need to blame the needles, right? All we have to do then is eliminate needles. So what do liberal Democrats do, Mark, in all these cities around the country? What do?
Giving out free needles.
They give out needles. We don't blame the needles for drug deaths, do we?
No. Great point.
Folks, there are 30 drunk driving deaths in the United States every day. 30 per day. That wouldn't happen if we just took away the cars. Would it, Mark?
See how it sounds?
It's the car, right? It's not the precursor. No. It's the car. The car is the weapon. That's what's killing other people. 30 every day DUI deaths. 30 every day. Look it up. That's actually down from where it was a few years ago. A few years ago, it was 37 a day. Now we're down to 30. But if we would just eliminate those cars, you know, there's damn near more cars in America than there are guns. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got two or three of them. But we don't take away those cars. And they're inflicting the death on other people. He says it's the fact that there is a gun available for purchase in America. That's not the reason behind it. It's not the reason. And everybody ripped him open on that, too, I see, which is good. It's not that gun. 14-year-old boy out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the fact that you can buy... It's the fact that you can buy a legal item in America and abuse it. like needles, like automobiles, like alcohol, like Big Macs, like anything in America, and inflict damage on someone else. By the way, during that day when that young boy was killed, there were 349,999,000 guns in America that kept homes safe that day. One of the guns out of the 350 million was abused.
Right.
One out of 350 million was abused that day. Was not legally used the way it should have been. Is there anything in America that has that kind of percentage? Anything else in America?
No.
Not that I know of.
No.
There were 11, according to this article, there were 11 deaths over the weekend. 11 over the weekend involving guns. 11 over the whole weekend. There was 100 drunk driving deaths over the weekend. 100. 3 days, 100 of them were people abused a legally purchased automobile and killed somebody. So just think of that. 11 over the week. 11 out of 350 million were abused out of that many. And it's the device. Nope, it's not. We all know it. Most people know it. People who've been indoctrinated and brainwashed, they all believe it's the item that was behind the motive and everything that did that. It was the item. No, it wasn't. The kids that did the shooting are bad kids. They've had bad parenting. They were raised wrong. They shouldn't have been out at 3 a.m. No, that has nothing to do with it. Not one damn thing, you idiot. Not one thing.
I know.
At all. It was the item. We're our own worst enemy in this country. We're our own worst enemy here. You know, we have people who are really a threat to society, and we know that, and we need to protect society. We need to protect your children from, like, this card that gave us all the signs. Everybody told people about him and his intention. They told, but yet, nope, you can't take him. Besides, if this man would have had any different ethnic background or anything, everybody who would have wanted to do that would have been a racist or a bigot or a homophobe.
Right.
You can't do that. 18 dead. They should have locked him up. He should have been in some type of institution where he could start getting treatment or they could protect him and society. Nope. We don't do that anymore. We've been trained now in our colleges and universities and other places on how to deal with this. And you just don't do that to people now. And so we have 18 people dead. We do it. Hell, we do it with animals. We do it with pit bulls and stuff like that that are a threat or who have aggressive tendencies. We put them down. And there's a huge difference. I know. Don't write me. I don't want to listen to your crap about the difference between. Believe me, I know the difference. But still, I'm using it as an example. We make sure that innocent children and people aren't hurt. If they are a threat to themselves, we're protecting them from themselves so they don't inflict harm to themselves. But we don't approach it like that anymore. And so we have 18 people dead. Just like the kid at Rocky. And I wrote about that yesterday. They've arrested two of them now related to that shooting. One was 16, one was 17.
Got a message here for you.
2:50 a.m. in the morning.
Please tell Paul, as mental health providers, we can only involuntarily commit a person to a 72-hour hold after that. It's up to the judge. I once committed someone to Warm Springs because he was a threat to himself, and he was out in less than a week.
There you go. Perfect example.
Yep.
Even mental health people know. They know. But you get the judges.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, you're not going to do that. Not going to do that. And so 18 people are dead. And the judge, these judges, they have no idea about, they're not even trained in anything of psychosis and mental disorders and problems like that. They're not even trained in any of that. So, and just think, folks, just think of how many people like Robert Card are out there right now. Just think how many are out there. A lot of people struggle. You know, this is a big thing that we deal with all the time when we have, for instance, a school shooting. Everybody talks about the mental illnesses that are prevalent in the anguish that students now are going through and the pressures of society, and we're letting our students down with treatment for mental illnesses. So we know it's a serious problem, but we're not protecting society from it, much less themselves, because these people, just like Robert Card, when they're done, then they kill themselves.
Right.
We better get our ducks in a row here. It's a big problem. So, well, we got our phones working today. That's good. Mark said he tried that. That's working.
Mm-hmm.
So we have those working. And in case we get into a real serious issue today, like leaf collection, because that's that's the biggest problem.
Yeah, for some.
Yeah.
Okay, get rolling. First news coming up 6:16.
The Breakfast Flakes podcast brought to you by the Blue Cat Bar and Grill. Next to the Roadside Event Center in Huntley, the Blue Cat, it's where it's at.